Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to do this time, spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know every once in a while we like to cover stories of just everyday people serving the kingdom of God as overcomers. People who, by the grace of God, have overcome the odds and now help other people find Jesus and find healing they need. And at one of my last events of the season, I was backstage. It was in Pennsylvania, getting ready to go on stage. And I saw this dear woman. I met her backstage. She wore a sweatshirt with one simple word across the front, and it just said, healed. And on the back, it said something like, healing is hard, but you can do hard things. And there was something about this woman's presence, even her shirt, that just impacted me so much. We got a few minutes to share and to hug, and it was just so great to meet her. She just carried something of God in her. And I know she was one of the speakers at this event. And a few minutes later, she comes back and she hands me a sweatshirt like hers that says healed across the chest. And I just, you know my story, so you know how much that means to me. Well, we're going to learn about her story today, and I'm going to learn right along with you because I really don't know her backstory that much, you know, a little bit. But speaker, co-pastor Brittany Jones joins me today to talk about her journey through poverty, abuse, trauma, mental illness, and then redemption. And I'm trusting that God's going to meet us all here today. A quick announcement. I want to just give you a big thank you again for what you did this week at our end of year fundraiser. I'm just in awe of God. I'm in awe of you. And God just continues to show up and show off, doesn't He? And the way that He moves in our hearts, there's so many more people, millions of people we want to reach with the good news of Jesus Christ. And because of your faithfulness, God is opening the doors to do that. And if you haven't given yet, you can give at any time. It's like, consider yourself giving a gift of hope to someone who desperately needs it. You can give safe and secure online at myfaithradio.com. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Brittany Jones is a proud wife of Travis and mother of two girls. Travis and Brittany planted and lead Motivation Church in Richmond, Virginia. She grew up in the inner city, poverty-stricken, suffering many years of childhood sexual abuse and mental illness. Her story is one of trials and triumphs. Her hope is to inspire people to look to the redeeming work of Jesus in the midst of their brokenness. And she, like I said, carries a presence, the presence of God with her. Brittany, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. What an intro. My goodness, this is such an honor. I'm really, really honored to be on the show. I'm excited about what God is doing.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to hear more about your story. And before we get there, though, we ask the same question every day, just coming out of the gate. And it's this: what is the Lord? What's He been talking about these days?
Yeah, that's a beautiful question, actually. You know, in our church, we started going through the book of Philippians, and I'd heard many times the scripture, most of us have probably heard it, Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And I read the scripture much like I would any other time, but the scripture prior to it, verse 12 says, I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And then it goes on to say, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You know, verse 13 is not just an empowerment scripture. It's about contentment. And I've had to learn that through my suffering, that I've been in different seasons where I've been low, and there's seasons where I've had plenty, and seasons where there's been joy, and seasons where there's been grief. But in every season, God is still God. In every season, He gives me strength. He gives me the power to move through. And so this is, I think, probably over the last couple months, I've just kind of been resting in that, because there are seasons where I don't feel great. There are days where I don't feel well. You know, I suffer from mental illness. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But, you know, there are seasons where it's not always great. It's not always beautiful. And in those seasons, I just recognize that I'm content in who God is in me. I'm content in who He is. And He continues to do so much through me, through my story. And in that, that's where He gives me the strength.
That's so beautiful. And, you know, that reminds me, I was going to ask a question because we have a very interactive audience and friends. I'm not going to, you know, because I ask sometimes very raw and questions that call for some vulnerability, and I'm always vulnerable on the show as well. Any text that comes in regards to this question, I won't name your names, but if you struggle with mental illness, just text in the number one. And if you love someone who does, text in the number two. And the reason I want to do that is I want to just kind of get a sense of how many friends are listening that deal with this and live with this. And it really is at epidemic proportions right now. I mean, people truly are battling in such a significant way. And one of the enemy's greatest ploys is to convince you that you're alone, that you're isolated, that you're really the only one, but you're not. So here's the number. Text me, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. In a little bit, as Brittany said, we're going to talk more about mental health issues. But right now, I just love your feedback. If you are someone who deals with a mental health issue, just text the number one. That's you. And if you are someone who loves someone who does, text in the number two. One more time, we'll give you that number, 877-933-2484. All right. So give us some backstory, Brittany, on your childhood. What do you remember about your childhood?
Man. Yeah, my childhood was riddled with a lot of pain. And I mean, there are moments that I remember being joyful, but probably my earliest memory, I was, you know, between the age of 4 and 5, my father was murdered when I was a little girl. My parents suffered from addiction, and I'm not saying anything that I have not asked permission from my mom to share. I have a very close relationship with my mother at this point, but my parents suffered addiction a lot of years. And because of that, it placed us around a lot of unhealthy and unsafe people. And so from the age of 5 until I was 15 years old, I was sexually abused, and I just didn't know what safety looked like. I had no idea what good and bad was when it came to people, because I just thought the people that I was around, I was supposed to trust them. And, you know, I've been placed in a lot of rooms that really caused a lot of hurt. And so my earliest memory was when I remember being, before I even started kindergarten, being hurt by someone and not really understanding. I remember tears flowing down my little eyes and not having anybody to help me or run to my rescue, because there was no one there. And so, you know, as I grew up and I got older, we moved around a ton, and my mom was, you know, she was kind of in and out, and she tried her very best with what she was given. But we had moved around a ton. And I remember when I was in fourth grade, we had moved across the street from this church. And I didn't know much about church. We didn't go to church, you know, in that time. And so I didn't know much about church. But there was these people that would come and they would clean our yards. You know, they would clean up the trash in our yards. Mm-hmm. They were from the church. And they would wear these yellow t-shirts. They start coming to clean up our yards. And they invited me to come to their after school program. And that is the first real encounter that I had with the Lord. And it wasn't like, you know, this light bulb. It literally was somebody coming to clean up my trash and inviting me to church. And in that moment really helped change the trajectory of my life, because I gave my heart to Jesus in the hallway of that church at 10 years old. And while things were still happening at home, there was just a different temperature in my own heart. Like, man, I now have someone to go to when I'm feeling the pain of abuse or whatever I couldn't label, whatever I couldn't name in that season of my life. And so my childhood, I grew up around a lot of poverty, around a lot of gang violence in that community. And there were joys. There were moments that I do remember being happy, I guess, but it really was based on the circumstance. It really wasn't something that was super sustainable. And so once I gave my heart to Jesus, I started meeting some people of the church and connecting with people. And I was the only one in my household that went to church at that time. And so I would go pretty much anytime the doors were open, I was there, because I just felt safe. And so
wow.
It
and
just
thank
became.
I was going to say, thank sure. the Lord that it was walking distance for you. It was close enough for you to be able to go, and thank the Lord that they were
absolutely.
An outreach-minded church. There's so many questions I have. You know, as a child, when you're 5 years old, you don't understand what's happening to you, but somehow your body knows this is not right. I mean, how did you process as a child what was happening to you? And was this someone that you're – obviously, they were in your home, so was your mom aware that this was going on?
So as a child, I don't know if I could really process. You do know that something's not right, because not everybody was doing those things to me, right? Like, so it was just a handful of people. Now, mind you, I was abused for 10 years of my life, and this was several people. It wasn't just one person. when I was a little girl, when I was younger, 5, 6, and 7 years old, I remember being very fearful, very uncomfortable in my own skin. And, you know, when you're 5 years old, I have an 8-year-old or 9-year-old right now. And, you know, there's not a moment my daughter does not think about like the fun things of life. You know, she's thinking of going to Disney and all of those things. When I was that little, I was just trying to figure out how to get out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are times even now in therapy, you know, they talk about going to the place of your greatest pain. And sometimes we all have to take a step back and look back at our 5-year-old self. There's many 5-year-old Britneys out there like me who felt that level of pain, like didn't know how to make sense of the brokenness of abuse. And I didn't know how to make sense of it at the time. I just knew that it was wrong. My mom, you know, there were moments that I think maybe she wanted to ask, but again, my mom suffered a little bit. She just had a rough childhood as well. And so I know that a lot of the things that were happening to us were things that she couldn't even figure out and make sense. And when she's dealing with addiction, you know, that was hard for her to try to wrap her mind around. So there were times that she was around. Sometimes she was not around. Most times that I was struggling, she was not around. And so when those things were happening, my mom was not present in the home for the most part.
Mm. This listener says, Susie, I'm amazed at how much the enemy is able to claim territory when there are victims of sexual abuse as a child. The lies, the pain last a lifetime and hold us hostage in all aspects of life but God. Praise his name that only through him can we be set free from the pain and bondage that this evil brings. And she's so right. You know, I remember being at an event this past fall, and we were on a panel with some speakers, and somehow we got on marriage, and one of the gals, she's awesome, but she was saying, women, have sex with your husbands, and she was charging women to, you know, and and people start to laugh, but she was pushing that, you know, pretty hard about whether you feel like it or not, and take a shower, and take good care of yourself, and I get what she was saying, and I was one of the older women in the panel, and so they were having a good time with that, and women were laughing. And but then they turned to me and said, Susie, you know, any thoughts? And I said, I'm not at all meaning to undermine at all what you just said. But I said, I know that a third of the women in this room are cringing and mm-hmm. are wanting to run out of this room because of that conversation right now. And it's not that easy when you have that kind right. of history. And but then I could speak to those women and say, but we will not let this stuff identify us for the rest of our lives. This is not a label we're going to wear, and it's not going to be an excuse that we're going to use. We just have a harder fight ahead of us to heal. And it reminds me, Brittany, of the back of your shirt, you know, that healing is hard, but we can do hard things. Say a word, if you would, to that woman listening today who feels still so marred by what happened to her as a child. What do you say to her?
The first thing I would say is I'm really sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. And I think sometimes it's hard for us to sit with that pain. We want to rush past it sometimes, and I wanted to rush past it a lot of times, not sitting with the pain of abuse and like, what do I do with this? So first thing I would say is I'm sorry. And the second thing that I would say to you is something that the Lord spoke to me, was be careful that the very thing you're trying to avoid may be the very thing you need to lean into and heal. The things that I tried to push away when it came to 5-year-old Brittany, the Lord was really trying to pull off layers so that I can be in a season of freedom. And I thought that the pain of my past was coming up just to haunt me sometimes, or just to like, you know, push me further deeper. And I think the Lord really was trying to peel back the layers so that the healed version of me does not have to suffer. And I think even for my girls, you know, for the lady whoever's listening right now, if you are suffering and you are dealing with childhood trauma and you're trying to unravel and peel back the layers, I would just tell you to take it moment by moment. That healing is a journey. It is not a straight line. It's much like an up and down roller coaster sometimes. Yeah. And it's so great when you start to peel back those layers, because sometimes it does hurt and healing is hard, but we can do hard things. And I think that's what we gather from Philippians 4:13, that sometimes we're in seasons where it's great and sometimes we're in seasons where it's not. But in all of those seasons, God is still who he says he is. And he is still going to bring healing your brokenness.
Somebody got to text me an amen. Somebody got to text me amen. We're going to a break here. And I've seen lots of texts come in, lots of twos, lots of ones. And what are you talking about? I'll tell you. And I'm asking for more participation here. If you're someone who battles mental illness, mental health issues of any kind, could be anxiety, depression, bipolar, whatever, text just a number one. I'm not going to name any names on those. If you're someone who loves someone who battles mental health issues, text in the number two. And I'm doing this to just take an informal poll to help you all know you're so not alone. And friends, if you could see the text board right now, you would know you're so not alone. Text me 877-933-2484. God is with you. He is with you. And as Brittany said, healing is not a straight line. It's up and down and all around, and you can't do this alone. We need each other. That's why we're doing this journey together. More with Brittany Jones in a minute. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. You know, God cares very much about strong beginnings and strong endings. That's why we want to finish the year strong. Will you help us do that? We are just getting started, reaching the world for Jesus Christ. And your part matters. In fact, we can't do it without you. You can give now to support this podcast so more people in more places can hear about Jesus and grow in their relationship. Click in the link in the show notes or give now at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to Brittany Jones. She's a speaker. She co-leads and pastors a church with her husband in Virginia. And I met her backstage at one of my last events of the fall season. And she had a sweatshirt on that says healed on the front. And on the back, it says healing is hard, but you can do hard things. And I loved her immediately. And I don't know, Brittany, that you know my story or not, but for you to go and get another sweatshirt and hand it to me, just about moved me to tears. And Brittany tells this story in the opening of the show of growing up in poverty with parents who were addicted to drugs. And her dad died when she was very, very young. And she was repeatedly molested, sexually abused from age 5, I think you said, to 10. But either way, you've got these layers and layers of pain. I've been asking people, would you text in? If you battle mental illness, give me a 1. And if you love someone who does, text in a 2. You would be amazed, friends, at how many people are texting in. And a lot of twos and plenty of ones. And so we'll maybe try to cover this topic more often in the future. We're going to get to the mental health piece in just a moment. But, you know, you'd mentioned something about in seasons of freedom. And I would love to know what you mean by that. Has that been your experience where there's been seasons of freedom and then times where you feel the captivity, or maybe God is scooping a little deeper and allowing things to surface so you don't feel as free because you're going through the mess of healing? Or how does that look for you?
For sure. You know, I think we all probably have moments where, you know, we feel like, okay, things are lighter. And I think I've dealt with a layer of things. I remember when I started going to therapy initially to deal with the trauma of sexual abuse and like just my childhood things. And we start talking through. And of course, you know, several years ago, before this thing became super popular, therapy was a little taboo in the church. And so it was something I was super quiet about for a little bit, right? But I started going to therapy and just getting the help that I needed. And, you know, you peel back one layer and you feel good for a season and you're settling in that, because it was for the first time. I remember having a conversation with my therapist and we're talking about hard things and we're going there. Like, we're just diving straight in about the trauma, and she's talking details and I'm listing off details. And there were times in therapy where I'm like, okay, wow, I feel like a weight has been lifted. And then there'd be other times where I would walk in or even go through, you know, months where I felt like that weight is back on, but it's not really true. It's the Lord is peeling back layers. And what I can handle in this season is He's peeled enough layers back. I'm healing. I'm moving through at a pace that is my own, and it's not going to look like anybody else's. And so as we start dealing with things, I think in therapy, you start dealing with things, you talk out loud, you sharing your story out loud. Of course, you peeling back layers and pulling them back, you feel a little more lighter and free. But there's been a ton of seasons where I'm like, man, I feel good. And of course, the enemy likes to whisper, but you're not. Mm-hmm. And I think I have to be aware of that, that as much as the Lord has brought freedom to my life, there's a real enemy out there also trying to remind me of who I was and the pain of what had happened. And so I have to be conscious of like, and freedom is mine. Like it's offered by the Lord, and he's not taking it back. And I know that the enemy would love to come in and say, well, Brittany, remember what they did. Remember the words that they spoke over your life. Remember that your mom couldn't take care of you and that people weren't there for you and you were lonely, of course. And so now I have to retrain my mind and reframe my thoughts that the enemy has been defeated and that he's not telling the truth in my life. God speaks truth over my life. And so as far as freedom is concerned, it's not just about a feeling. There are seasons where he's peeling back layers and it doesn't always feel free, but it doesn't mean that I'm not free.
Amen. And really, I'm so grateful that God has put you in the position that he has, even at, you know, as a speaker and then as a co-pastor with your husband, where you have the courage and the guts to speak out, not only about therapy, but about mental health issues, because we've fallen down terribly in years past in the church. In fact, this listener texted in and said she remembers being taught as a kid that depression was a result of sin. And, you know, you try to imagine dealing with a depression. It's kind of like in the biblical times, how barrenness was treated as a curse. Like you must have done something where there's times God was delaying a pregnancy for the sake of his greater purpose, but they're dealing with this twofold, you know, curse almost. So what's that been like for you to speak up about and even normalizing mental health battles?
Yeah, I do know that is still something I think that the church has come a long way. And so I'm so grateful that we have come such a long way and that we're talking more about it. It's a little more open. You know, there are times where I do go and speak somewhere and I'll get an email or a message on social media afterwards that people just don't understand. And what you don't understand, you just assume that it's not right. I will say this. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I had no idea what bipolar disorder was. In fact, when I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, the only thing that I really knew about it was what I saw on like TV, like Law and Order SVU, you know, like the episodes where they just show this erratic behavior. That's all I really knew. And so when I initially was diagnosed, I was very quiet. I didn't tell anybody really other than my husband knew and my mentor knew. They knew all of the details because they had walked these last several years with me and trying to figure out what's going on. And so as I was diagnosed, I was a little afraid because here we are, you know, at the time my husband and I were doing youth ministry. And so I was afraid, man, would this like disqualify us from ministry? Is this something that would like make my husband look bad? And it's unfortunate that those are the things that we have to think about. But because I never heard mental illness in that capacity talked from a platform at that time, I really had no frame of reference to understand what was okay, what was not okay. And much like the listeners, I heard a lot about like, you know, if you suffered from depression or anxiety is because of your behavior or you didn't pray enough or all of those things. I think at this point in my life, I remember after several years after the diagnosis, because it wasn't something that I was willing to just like start getting on social media and ranting about and talking about just because I really felt like the Lord needed to do some work in my own heart for me to understand what it is that I'm walking through. And then is this like a temporary thing? I didn't understand much about it at all. And so as I walk with my mentor, my husband, and I just trusted just their wisdom on when to speak up and when not to, there was a moment where I felt like, you know, this is a good time for me to start talking about it. And it wasn't until I can understand what I was walking through. And I also started walking through a season of healing in that area of my life where I have a therapist and a psychiatrist and a full team around me that can support me when I'm not doing well. And so there are people that don't get it. And I understand that because it's such a big thing in culture too, sometimes that people wear it like a badge. And, and I understand that sometimes as Christians, we are like, just pray and God's going to do it. Right. And so we don't want people to wear these labels or these diagnoses as badges. And I get it because I don't want to wear that as a badge. However, I do know that there's many people suffering. You know, if you look on any mental health website, you will find that 1 in 5 suffer from mental illness. That's not just like in the world, that's in the church as well. That's people in general. And so if one in five is suffering from a mental illness, I can only imagine the person that we're sitting next to at church that's afraid to speak up because they haven't heard anybody else speak up. And sometimes we just need somebody to say, man, I'm struggling too, but this is how we walk it out. I never, ever in my life want to get on any platform and just talk about it for the sake of talking about it. But what I do want to do is remind people that we serve a real God, that even in the midst of suffering, that God can still move in your life, that God can still use you, that you have purpose in you. And so for me, I just thought, man, I don't want to talk about it just for the sake of saying, hey, I have this thing, but I want you to watch me walk it out. Watch me walk this healing out. And I want you to watch me walk it out with, if God does nothing else in my life, he is still good and he is still faithful. And I'm just going to continue to walk that and live that for the rest of my days.
I appreciate that so much. You know, 30 plus years ago when I was first diagnosed with Lyme, they didn't know what it was so much back then. And there was, I remember reading a self-published book by another gal who was several years ahead of me in the battle. She was desperately ill. And they put her in a psych ward and gave her shock treatments, about ruined her brain because they thought she was making it up. I mean, it's like, I can't even believe the things we don't know and the damage we do to the suffering soul when we don't know what we don't know. And I praise God we've made such strides with Lyme. I praise God we've made such strides with mental illness. And yet we've got so much farther to go, because I think of one in five people sitting in the church pew and feeling scared, feeling, and the fact that you're public, you've gone public, and you get emails from people pushing back because they're so afraid of what they don't know. What a risk that is for someone who doesn't even, you know, who's so terrified of speaking up. So we got to do better than this. And, you know, we're going to pause for a break here, but so many of you checked in with a one and a two, or a one and a two, which like makes me think you're not only battling mental illness, but you love someone who is. What is that like? So, you know, now I'm going to ask you to tell me again, all your texts will be anonymous today. I won't name any names, but all of you who checked in and all of you who didn't, text me back and tell me, what's it like for you? What's it been like for you as a Christian, maybe in the church or not? And, you know, we love the church. It's Christ's bride. We're not bashing the church, but we got to do better. We want to do better. And I just want you to be heard and be seen. So what's it been like for you to battle mental illness? And on the other side, I'm going to ask Brittany what it's been like for her. And then we got a question from a listener. I'll read it now so you have a minute to think about it, Brittany. She says, I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like a big struggle with my mental illness is the lie. You're not going to be okay. If there's one thing I would do anything to hear, it's that everything's going to be okay. From my faith, I believe that the Lord is indeed promising goodness and mercy, but I'd love to know how Brittany puts herself in that secure headspace. Really great question. Would you text and tell me, what's it been like for you to love someone who battles, or to be someone who battles, or both? Here's the number, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to Brittany Jones today about trauma, sexual abuse, mental illness, and leading with a limp. Brittany is a speaker. She co-pastors and leads a church with her husband. As a child, she was raised in poverty, experienced sexual abuse for about a decade. Later on, was diagnosed with bipolar, and we've been talking about mental health issues. And so I've asked you to text in, and I'm still going to keep asking. If you love someone who battles mental illness, text just the number two. If you are someone who battles mental illness, text the number one. And you'd be amazed, friends, at how many ones and twos are coming in at the same time, meaning they themselves battle mental health issues and they love someone who does. Text 877-933-2484. And Brittany, this dear listener says, I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like a big struggle with my mental illness is the lie. You're not going to be okay. If there's one thing I'd do anything to hear, it's everything's going to be okay. From my faith, I believe the Lord indeed is promising goodness and mercy, but I'd love to know how Brittany puts herself in that secure headspace.
That is such a beautiful question. Mm-hmm. I too remember not thinking that I was going to be okay. It took one of my I see a dietitian, and it took me going into her office literally twice a week and her reminding me of the purpose of God in my life. Even though I knew it, I needed somebody to tell me God has a purpose for you, because right now you can't see it. And right now you don't feel it. And you feel like you're never going to make it out of this, but he does. And he has a purpose for you, and I'm walking in it. And so for you listening, let me be the person to say that God has a purpose for your life. I know you feel broken. And I know right now it feels like you're never going to make it out of this. And do the same thing that she reminded me of. There's purpose in you, and it's going to be fulfilled. One of the things that I love about scripture is if you look in the New Testament and you look at the miracles of God, it's usually Jesus invites us to participate in the miracles, right? And so you think about the woman with the issue of blood. You think about the man that was laying on the mat and the other miracles you see in scripture. Jesus invites us to participate in that miracle. And so for you, I would just encourage you, you know, you are looking for the Lord to do something in you. I would just encourage you to participate in the miracle that you want to see in your life. For me, that looks like, you know, every day I don't feel like getting out of my bed some days because I struggle in my mind. Even now, there are days where I don't feel like getting out of the bed, but I have to remind myself every single day, today's a new day. His mercies are brand new today. I have to speak to myself in faith that, okay, it may not feel like a great day right now, but today is a new day. His mercies are new today. So I can get the first foot out of the bed. So sometimes that's the small thing, but it's me participating in the day that I want to have and the miracle that I want to see for myself. It doesn't always look like these giant leaps. Sometimes it's small steps that feels victorious for somebody who's suffering. And so there is purpose in you, and God has not left you alone. What I love is that the presence of pain does not equal the absence of God.
That's
right. The presence of pain does not equal the absence of God.
Friends, as you listen, I know a number of these texts that have come in. I'm recognizing some of you. And remember, go back and listen to some of the Jamie Winship conversations I've had, and then Rob Reamer, because just in the same way, when you're someone who deals with a chronic health issue, when there's a chronic mental issue, the enemy is going after identity all the time. And I think the sooner and the deeper we can see that God's identity is imprinted on us, it's not up for grabs because we struggle or have a bad day or an off day, the less we'll be shaken by the storm. Then you'll be okay with not always being okay. And this dear listener, I'd love to ask this actually from your husband's perspective, what it's been like for him as a spouse and what you've learned from him, what's been helpful for him, what's been helpful for you, and how he is. Has handled this, because this dear one says, I would say having a spouse with mental illness, she says, it's like being on a merry-go-round you can't get off. The dread of, okay, how will he be today when he gets home? The times I want to run away and never come back, and the guilt I feel as a Christian of, why can't I deal with this better? I so appreciate that honest reflection. What do you say to her, and what have you learned from your husband?
Yeah, for sure. We actually just recently talked about this because a lot of people ask that question. Like, what is it from his perspective? It's hard for sure. Because imagine, you know, just walking with somebody who has dealt with obviously years of trauma, but then in the present, this is something I can't just shake off. I can't just decide to wake up one day and say, okay, well, I have a normal brain today, or I'm feeling great today. And so for my husband, the first thing that was helpful, I brought him to my therapy appointment. Not so that my therapist can fix him or anything like that, but mostly so that my husband can hear the same information and ask questions. So there are things that he didn't understand. And so he can go into the sessions that I had and he can ask all of the questions that he had. And then I'm very good about telling him how I'm feeling when I'm feeling it versus making him guess. And so that, I know that's helpful for him. He asks questions a lot. Okay, so how can I help you today? What's going to make sense? One of the things that I think that's been helpful in our household, because we do have children, is on the days where I'm not doing well, I need my husband to just keep things as normal as possible. Because we know when you're in a house, you know, once the mood is kind of down, everybody feels a little like they need to kind of be down. But my husband keeps the temperature up in the house, where it keeps it upbeat on the days that I'm not well. But it's hard. It's for sure hard. And I give him space to say that. I don't get offended by, you know, this being hard. It's hard for anybody that is attached to someone that suffers from mental illness, not because of me, but because of the nature of what it is. And so we keep the communication wide open. He's invited into any conversation around this topic. And he also can come to any appointment that I have, but also he can speak into areas where he's like, hey, I need you to kind of get up today. I need you to kind of do some things today. One of the tricky things about bipolar, I'm going to speak from this perspective because that is what I walk through. One of the tricky things about it is that sometimes people have the tendency to believe that it's so debilitating that I cannot function or I can't move myself. Now, there's some people that suffer from mental illness that it is incredibly debilitating, but there are things that I can do. Like I have control over if I'm going to choose to get up today. Am I going to choose to go and get dressed today? Am I going to choose to do, you know, X, Y, Z? And so my husband kind of calls me to that. And sometimes that's incredibly helpful in helping me to kind of get out of my own way and get out of my head a little bit.
Here's another question that's come in regarding spouses. What if they refuse to get help?
It's really tough. I would encourage the other spouse that is willing to get the help than to get help. You can't do anything about someone else, like not choosing therapy or, you know, anything like that. But you can get the help to learn how to best care for yourself in the midst of it. It's not always about, you know, how do I help this person walk through their journey? How do I help myself walk with somebody that is struggling? What are the tools that are needed? I think it would be a benefit for you to get the help.
When did you start to feel like, you know, because you found Jesus, so he found you 10 years old in the hallway at church, and you said even though you were still enduring abuse and trauma, there was a light in your heart. So there was some kind of, you know, Jesus was with you. It's so painful. But when did you start to kind of grow in your faith enough where you felt like the weightiness of the kingdom within me is going to outweigh the trauma that has come against me? Like, when did you get a sense, I'm going to be an overcomer?
I was a teenager. I fell in love with worship. You know, music obviously moves people, right? And so because I didn't know much about Jesus, I gave my heart to Jesus from what I understood. And then I started growing in my faith. I started going to youth group and going to church, as I said, whenever it was open. However, I just fell in love with being able to sing praise unto God. I just fell in love with that. And so as I started kind of listening to more music and listening to what the words and the lyrics were saying and being engaged in worship in church, I started developing this heart for like, oh, wow, is this true about who they say God is? Will he never forsake me? You know, things like that, where I'm starting to read the lyrics of the songs. And probably by 15, I made a decision in my mind that there's no turning back, that there has to be something that God can do in my life through all of this. But not just that, I just madly fell in love with God. And I had a lot of great people around me at that time as well. You know, a great youth pastor and some great leaders. In fact, one of the man that led me to Jesus, he and his wife took me into their home when I turned 15. And so I lived in their home for about a year. And it really just shaped and changed me because I was able to kind of see a different life than what I was used to. And I just fell in love with the Lord. I was discipled and I just started growing and I never turned back.
How did you and your hubby decide that you're going to lead a church? So you were youth pastors for a while. How did the call come and what kind of fears and obstacles did you have to overcome?
Yeah. So my husband and I, we were youth pastors here in the area for a while. We really loved what we were doing here. And the church that we were a part of when we first moved to Virginia, we were living in Orlando at the time. We loved it. It was sunny and beautiful. And then we moved to Virginia, where my husband has never lived out of the sun. And so it was very interesting because it's colder in Virginia than it is in Orlando, sunny Orlando. And but we felt probably about 5 years in, the church that we were a part of wanted to really plant a life-giving church on the south side of the city. And they really wanted us to kind of be a part of that move. And so we had prayed about it and asked the Lord just for some direction and really lay it on our hearts. Is that what he wanted for us? And we believe that that's what God wanted. And so we kind of took a nosedive in and got some training. And before we knew it, September 2017, we launched Motivation Church in South Richmond. And the Lord has done a great work. And what's been amazing about the work that God has done here in our city is You know, we didn't just do church the way that we've always seen it, obviously, because Travis and I have very unique stories. We just felt like we wanted to make sure that I didn't have to hide behind closed door because of my story. And so one of the first things that we did as a new church plant was start talking about mental health and mental illness. And we were really surprised at how many people struggled as well. In fact, when the pandemic happened, our church paid probably about a third of the people that went to our church, we paid for their therapy, three sessions of their therapy, because most people really hadn't gone to therapy at that time. And so it's been beautiful planting a church. Just the Lord has done some great things with us.
That's so good. Before we go to break, we're going to tackle something that's a little bit controversial, and friends I know are going to have different opinions on it, but I want to cover it. I don't want to ever shy away from hard topics, but this listener texts in, and I got to say, I agree with it, and I want to qualify my thinking on this. But she says, inner healing and deliverance can be extremely helpful in dealing with issues that are diagnosed as mental illness that truly are not mental illness, but demonic situations. So many need to be set free from the oppressive spirits that take us into depression, pain, generational sin, soul ties, etc. Remind people of this healing and restorative option that the Lord provides. My qualifier is, in times past, because people didn't know what to do with people who battled mental health, they called everything a demon, and people were left feeling absolutely defective, and it made the situation so much worse. And there are times where you have a literal, real diagnosis, and it's wrong to call that a demon, even though the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I do happen to believe that there are people who have demonic oppression that need deliverance, need healing, need something. And I know too much. I've seen too much to say the otherwise. So again, I know there's varying opinions on that, and I want to walk that very carefully, but I'd love to know your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think I remember when I was around 12 or 13 years old, I was taken into a room, and I probably never shared this before, but I was taken into a room to pray, because I believe, because of, you know, just different what people thought they understood about my story. And at that time, I wasn't even diagnosed with bipolar. And we were praying demons away. And I didn't understand the concept. I really didn't understand it, but I was just like going with the flow. And that's just kind of how my upbringing was. But, you know, I understand that there's a fine line. There are people that need to be prayed for demons to be released. Like there is an oppression over people. And then there is that fine line of a diagnosis. And some people love to kind of ride the fence of people like diagnosis. And I'm not saying that's, you know, I know that it validates some people in their story, because if you felt like you've been crazy for a long time, and then somebody tells you that something else is happening, it's almost a validation of, okay, I'm not. No, this is really what's happening. I think there is some wisdom in having, that's why community is so good, because the people around you that know you, and the people, your pastors, your leaders, my mentor, people around me, because of my accountability and because of my community, there was no doubt about it of what I was walking through, because I did not shy away from talking to my people. And
so good.
If we keep those things quiet, then that's where it gets a little bit tricky, because you don't want anybody to know it's secretive. But then how do you know, like, if God wants to bring healing, I'm up for that. I'm like, game. Like, Lord, you want to heal my mind? If this is something different, heal me in the name of Jesus. And I believe that God can, and I believe that he will. I stand on that. But it could be that the lack of community helps that you not be able to differentiate between the two. And so because I had community, It wasn't difficult for me to understand what I was walking through.
We got a break here. When we come back, I got a couple more things I want to just say about that, but so balanced, so good, Brittany, and I agree with you so much, and that's why I'm so grateful we can talk about these kinds of things on the show. Talking to Brittany Jones, such an important topic, and friends, thank you for all who've texted in one and two, and what was that about if you just tuned in? I asked you to text in one if you battle mental illness, two if you love someone who does, and you cannot believe how many ones, how many twos, and how many ones and twos where they're saying, yes, I do, and someone I love does as well. We're here with you, friends, and there's hope for you. We'll be back in a minute. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. Christmas is my favorite time of year. I remember back in our young years when we were struggling to make ends meet, and someone surprised us with bags of groceries and gifts under the tree. All these years later now, we love to surprise others who have a need. Maybe you know someone who has a need this Christmas. You can give hope to someone this Christmas this year by sharing their story at myfaithradio.com. Help us help them and be a blessing to someone this year on myfaithradio.com. Wow, hope you're having a really great day. We sure are having an amazing conversation today. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to speaker and co-pastor, co-leader Brittany Jones, who suffered so much trauma as a child. Her parents were addicts. She grew up in poverty, sexual abuse for 10 years, and later was diagnosed with bipolar. We've been spending quite a bit of the show talking mental health issues, which it's just been amazing to see the texts that have come in and how many of you have given feedback. Because I asked you, text in one. If you battle, text in two. If you love someone who does, I wish you could see the board because you would see, friend, you are so not alone. And right before the break, I wanted to address a text that had come in about a woman had said, don't forget to mention deliverance and inner healing and the spiritual nature of things at times. And she was so right. And this other person texted in and said, agree with you. Discernment is needed. Some is spiritual origin, some is physical. And I don't want to leave this point just yet, Brittany. It feels so important because just again, addressing both chronic health issues or mental health issues, what I hear you saying, and I feel this so strongly, is our participation matters. Our participation with our healing process matters. And I remember all those years ago, I felt like I was crazy because the symptoms were crazy and nobody had a name for them. When they finally showed up in the blood, Lyme disease, I'm like, oh, I have a name. And so I have some kind of path forward. And you sure can see how someone needs a diagnosis at times. And yet, like you said, we have this propensity to sometimes wear it, to get our identity from it, to sink into it. And I think there's something so powerful about the, you know, discerning what your path forward is for healing, but saying, I'm going to participate with God. And we cover health on this show a lot, Brittany. We have functional med doc, my doctor, on the show once a month. We cover lots of brain science and things. And what we know is that, again, like you said, it's not a straight line. And I would tell you, I am more healed than I've ever been, but it's been through traditional medicine. It's been through functional medicine. It's been through fasting, praying, standing on God's word, eating a clean diet, believing for, there's everything, all of it. None of it's been wasted on me. And I get the sense for you, it's the same thing. Like you're going to go open every door that God leads you to because you're going to be free as best as you can to do the things God's called you to. Would you add Absolutely. To that in any way?
Yeah, I think, and I think part of the conversation needs to be maybe like, can we release ourselves from the fear that God can use other means to bring healing? That it's not just a one-way street, you know, like, we talk about deliverance. Not everyone is qualified to lay their hands on me and pray
exactly right.
that I'm delivered from. You know what I mean? And so sometimes mm-hmm. we've been in churches where people have done some strange things. And that is part of the reason why many people lean towards going to the medical route, because they're like, man, I don't want to even go near that because that was weird. And it may not even be that it's not the right avenue. It's just that it was uncomfortable and it was strange and it may be
and
not
the wrong
done
person.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And the wrong person. So I think there's so many different avenues that God can bring healing. You know, one of the things that I have had to learn, I have a friend and my grandmother recently passed away from cancer. And there's never a point in their journey that I'm like, you need to just throw away the medicine and all of those things. And we're just going to pray or I'm going to believe God for this. I'm believing God while you're taking your chemo. I'm believing God while you're going yeah. to get your doctor's appointment. I'm believing God in the midst of it. When you can't, I'm believing God for you. And so even with my brain, even with those of you who are listening and you're struggling with mental illness or you have somebody that you're like, man, they're believing too much in this illness, maybe they need somebody else to just believe God for them while they try to figure out how to take some other steps. There are days where I just feel tired and I'm like, I don't know what to do and where to go. And then I have my husband who's like, don't worry about it. I got you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to lay my hands. My kids will lay their hands on my head when I don't have the words to pray. And so while we Amazing. Sometimes are trying to give people the directives of, oh, you just need to believe God for X, Y, Z. They're going to the doctor because it's what they know to do. And the doctor's physical. And so if I, as their friend or their mentor or their loved one, I'm just going to be the one to lay hands on. Because if you can't believe for yourself, I'm going to believe God for you. And I believe that God can bring healing in the moments where you feel like all you have left are these doctors.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's the end all be all, but sometimes it's all we have. Like, we're just exhausted when you're hearing that you have this, this, and this, and you can't fix it, and you're too tired, and you don't know what to do. Just somebody that suffers, just hearing my voice, just know that there are days as a faith-filled pastor, as a leader, that I'm just tired. And I don't know the words to say, and I don't know the words to pray. And then I have my mentors and my friends and my husband who wrap their arms around me. And presence is so powerful. It's ministry. So
yes,
when I feel like
100%.
Maybe I do need deliverance, I don't know, but I got the people around me that they're going to lay hands when I don't know what else to say.
And who've earned the right to speak into your life. And that's the thing, is if you really are engaged with God, he will put the right people around you. So you don't just let anybody lay hands on you. I think that's extremely important. Maybe we do a show on that someday, because that's extremely important. And that you walk intimately with trusted community, and the Lord himself will show you the path forward. Brittany, this has been phenomenal. Thank you so much. I wish you could see all the texts. People are so grateful we're talking about this, which makes me think we need to talk about it some more. But I just bless you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. This has been so, what a dream come true for me. Thank you.
Wow, you are a treasure. Consider yourself hugged, you darling girl. And friends, we should all hop on our website and go buy that sweatshirt, because it's phenom, okay? Thanks for tuning in today. Pray you found some encouragement here. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.